The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Tell you, explaining things to my kids makes me realize how little I know. Recently, my son pointed to an antenna and said, "Look, Daddy, stick!" And I said, "Actually, that's an antenna." He goes, "What's an antenna?" "It's a stick." "It's a silver stick." "You nailed it, buddy."
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. It's good to be here with you today. I'm always grateful to hang out with you, take a look at life. And I'm going to open the phones in this hour, too. I'm going to talk about fathers, and I'll talk about all sorts of things. I saw an article talking about trouble paying bills and how that can take a heavy toll on a father's mental health and ultimately lead to family conflict. I don't know whether you're going through something like that. You've been through that. We'll dive into that. We'll take a look at fathers. Maybe a little bit later in the show, too, if you got some good Father's Day gifts, maybe that son or daughter hasn't gotten, maybe you got your dad a gift yet, right? Maybe you're the spouse and you haven't gotten the gift yet. We'll throw some ideas out. That's always a lot of fun to hear what people are going to give or what they're going to do. And it's always fun to talk with you. The number here to get in anytime you want to join me is 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. And, let's talk about it. Let's talk about fathers for a second here. That Jim Gaffigan clip, maybe I should start with that. I love what Gaffigan has to say because I think he's right. That was, he's a Catholic comedian. He plays up that popular cultural theme of dumb dads. You know, they've been a stereotype for a long time, and I kind of have a little bit of a problem with it. I mean, you take a look at fathers. Fathers make a lot of sacrifices. Look, my dad, he was a great man. He had his own struggles in life, of course, but he taught me great values. He was the most generous person I ever met. He would give you the shirt off his back. I mean, he gave when he had nothing at times to others. And he taught me the value of generosity and of mercy and of what it meant to really be a man, to be a good man. And, as I'm growing up, you don't recognize it. I said to my wife the other day, we were talking about Father's Day coming up and kids are going to come over and, they're going to celebrate you on that day. What do you want for dinner? And I'm like, tell them not to bring me anything. It's like, as a father, I still worry about my kids. They're young adults. They're broke as a joke. It's just, I want to look out for them. But I think, in retrospect, I said, I have more respect, more admiration, and maybe even a deeper love for my father than I ever had being a father myself. I didn't realize the sacrifice that he made or even, the lessons that were taught until I walked in those shoes as a father, as I raised my young children, as I raised my high school kids, as I raised my young adults, my college grads. It's like every chapter of life is a little bit different. And I just want to say to you, if your father's still alive, don't take him for granted. Tell him how much you love him and thank him for the sacrifices that he has made for you. That'd be the best gift you can give him. If your dad's gone before you, I would say pray for him. That's the greatest gift you can give to your dad today. Pray for him. I was at Mass earlier today, and I was praying for my father, and I think it's important that Mass is offered for those who've gone before us, especially our family members, our loved ones. Pray the rosary. Pray the chaplet for him. Those things are very, very powerful. But let's zoom out. I think part of the problem we're seeing in the culture at large today, there's such, we're seeing, unprecedented gun violence, right? We're seeing total disorientation when it comes to gender and sexuality. And we're seeing the breakdown of the family. I think a lot of that has to do with the father. And there's a couple things. I think men have abdicated the role of being good fathers, of being the men that they're called to be. But I also think the culture is really undermined their role in society. I don't think it's any one thing. I think it's a bunch of things. There was a doctor, I think it's Poloka. I was reading him in the Catholic thing. He pointed out last year in an article I had read that, contraception, it goes against the very nature of fatherhood. And it grabbed my attention. I'm like, how does that go against the nature of fatherhood? He says contraception goes against the very nature of fatherhood in the fact that it negates fatherhood, right? It just totally negates it. And what kind of culture do we live in today? Think about it. We live in a culture where contraception is so prevalent that if you don't practice, if you're not involved, if you're not using it, if you're not practicing it, you're considered an oddball, right? You're out. What? You guys don't use contraception? You don't know how the, you know, don't you know how kids are made? I thought it was such an, it was a great insight. I never thought of it. That contraception goes against the very nature of fatherhood because it negates fatherhood. This is all part of a satanic tactic. You know, Satan hates life. You know, he's evil, right? And if you take evil and you spell it backwards, it spells live, right? Hates life. He's the antithesis of life. And we see the attack on life. We see the attack on family. We see the attack on marriage. We see those things. I've mentioned you a million times what the great seer in Fatima said. This is what the final confrontation is going to be all about. So it's no surprise to me on the eve of Father's Day that we see fathers so challenged, we see marriage so challenged, that we see this attack on the very essence of something that is, I think, such a sacred, holy, and wonderful vocation. You know, another challenge to fatherhood, just another note here, and feel free to join me. We can talk about it. This transgender movement, and I said to my producer, Tom, this morning, and I haven't mentioned this to Maggie yet, but I did mention it to Maggie. I mentioned it earlier. I said, gosh, I feel like we talk about this a lot. I almost feel bad talking about this transgender movement because I always want to approach these issues with love. I want to approach them with charity, with kindness, with understanding. But I was thinking about it, you know, this morning, I thought, you know, this is a challenge to fatherhood, this whole transgender movement, right? I just can't imagine what it's like for a child to say to his or her father, sorry, Dad, but you know, gave me the wrong set of genes, and you know, now I've got to correct what you messed up. It's got to hurt, you know, in some respects. And poor fathers struggling with these issues. I think fathers, you know, it's a tough road for some fathers. They see their sons going down this path or their daughters going down that path. You know, I think it's hard. That's another way, in some respects, that fatherhood is negated. I know there's other reasons for why people think they're transgender. It's not just chromosomal, you know. It's not just genetic. It's, you know, a lot of it is mental. It's ideological, too. But fatherhood, we need to pray. We need to pray for our fathers. There's another way, as I was thinking about the ways that fatherhood has been negated. You know, contraception kind of started me down this path. It's also through the neglect of the children that guys have fathered, right? A lot of you men, a lot of us men, I should put myself in that category. I mean, we all are responsible for being good examples, for setting the example. A lot of men have neglected, you know, through neglect of their children, have undermined fatherhood. Neglecting fatherly responsibilities results in kids who are aimless, who have no sense of purpose in life, who are have no respect for authority, right? Those kids end up getting in trouble. I say to my wife all the time, I see these police video and these cops end up going to jail because, you know, somebody, you know, who's being pulled over for a DUI or a bad tag or whatever it is, they don't comply. They don't get out of the car when the officer says get out of the car. They don't put their hands on the wheel. They don't have the ID. Instead, they fight or they run or they punch, right? There's no respect for authority. They argue. Just show them their registration and your license, okay? They say, get out of the car, get out of the car, okay? But these things escalate, and ultimately, you know, a gun goes off or something tragic happens. And why does that happen? I think because we've lost respect for authority, and I think fathers have neglected that responsibility. We want to be our friend to our kids, right? And also because we become emasculated. I mean, take a look at television. Take a look at the way males are portrayed. You know, an interesting stat, and I've shared this before, most men who are in prison today, they're sons of fathers who begot them and then got out. Not all, but there's a high percentage of men who are incarcerated today who come from fatherless families. And we talked about fatherlessness in the past. You know, I really think a lot of these mass shootings, I mean, we've seen that last one in Uvalde, that kid came from a broken family for sure. Those kids were on their own without a father in their lives. A lot of these gangs often fill the void. You know, they're made up of guys. You take a look at the demographics of gang members. Their fathers are nowhere, right? They're nowhere. But here's the thing, as we zoom out, that's the temporal, that's the world we live in, right? We have a loving Father. We have a merciful Father. We have a Father that will never abandon us, and a Father who loves us beyond all human comprehension. We have a heavenly Father, God the Father. He is the source of all fatherhood. And I was struck by the fact that this year, right? It's interesting, this year, Corpus Christi is actually aligned with Father's Day because the Eucharist is the greatest gift that the Father could give to us on earth, right? What a day to celebrate fathers. What a day to celebrate the Eucharist. You go before that gift of the Eucharist, pray for your Father, and give thanks to your Heavenly Father, who is all merciful. But I'll tell you, I think one of the most difficult aspects of being a father is also providing for your wife and children. I know I began the conversation with that, went a little off tangent, but I want to talk about that. And I'd love your take on fathers, the lessons you've learned, and the struggles you might have had, or we could talk about it. Maybe, you know, quite often people have bad relationships with their fathers. They don't have a good relationship with their Heavenly Father. And there's also a connection to that. So as a father, personally, I always want to make sure I'm compassionate and forgiving and loving, that my children see that so they know that their Heavenly Father is the same. You know, a lot of dads struggle financially. Not everybody comes from a wealthy family. And I know finances can weigh very heavily on any relationship, on a marriage. But it also weighs very heavily, I think, on the father who, in some respects, and feel free to sound off. You can correct me on this if you disagree, or you can re-echo this. I think fathers often feel the burden of the financial responsibility for the family. And I want to be careful. A lot of single moms out there, a lot of, you know, parents and mothers who work, and I don't want to diminish the role of the mother or the contribution to the economics of the household. But there's something about a father, right, who his job is to provide and protect. That's how I view it, right? That's my primary role, to provide and to protect, to love. There is a pressure on men sometimes to make sure their kids have what they need, to pay the bills. There was a study published in the Journal of Family Relations, and they reached the conclusion, and I don't think it was hard to reach, but trouble paying bills can have a take a very heavy toll on fathers and their mental health. And that can ultimately then ripple out into the family and lead to family conflict. So, I mean, the conclusion is not hard to reach, but the majority of people in our nation live in the middle class and below. It's middle class and below. So paying bills can be hard. Today we live in a culture where gas is up, inflation's rising, the dollar's going a lot less distance. We're dealing with shrinkflation. We're dealing with a lot of other issues. And worry and stress about how you're going to pay the tuition or the doctor's bill or keep the light on or pay the mortgage or provide for the kids' tuition. It's tough on a lot of fathers. And I also think it's a reflection of how we look at manhood. I've invited Gary Zimek to stop by today. He's a Catholic evangelist. He's a motivational speaker. He is a man who knows exactly what I'm talking about. He has lived on divine providence. And I think I have a lot of respect for Gary because of that, because you know, my own father lived on that for a period of time. I mean, he was a radio broadcaster in the Philadelphia, in the tri-state area, very successful in secular broadcasting. And then he had this radical conversion where he wanted to get involved in Catholic radio, believe it or not, and formed one of the first Catholic radio stations or Catholic radio programs in the country under John Cardinal Kroll in the city of Philadelphia, and had done that for about 40 years. And quite often, finances could be very difficult. And I learned a lot about the value of trust, and I witnessed God's providence through that man. Gary's walking in those shoes. Sometimes Gary will reach out and say, "Hey, Drew, can you say a prayer for me?" But Gary also knows that, you know, worry is not the answer, right? He actually wrote a book about it, and you could read it. It's called A Worrier's Guide to the Bible, and he has spoken about this theme many, many times. He knows anxiety and worry rob you of your future, and they'll do nothing for you. He's a perfect person to talk to today, also a father. You can follow him online at followingthetruth.com. Gary, good to have you with me today, and an early happy Father's Day to you.
Oh, thank you, Drew. Happy Father's Day to you. As I was listening to you, brother, I have to say I am so glad to be able to participate in this conversation with you, because just let me say, you know, I grew up in the Philly area, and I used to listen to your dad and mom on the radio, and I heard his story, but I never thought in a million years that I would be in the same position, living off of divine providence, supporting my family through ministry. But, Drew, 10 years of full-time ministry, we are getting by, but the Lord has provided, and he really is good for his promises. When Jesus said, our Father will give us what we need, he wasn't kidding. And you know, so I am pleased to be able to talk about this. And as you know, I'm somebody who has struggled with anxiety. That's why I've written so much about it, and I talk about it so much. But I'm here to say that the Lord is faithful, and he does provide for his children.
Amen to that. Gary, you know, I saw this article, and I don't know, I'm assuming my producer must have sent it over to you, taking a look at the stress that fathers go through. And, you know, I never really thought about what my own father went through until I became a father, and I had mortgages to pay, tuitions to pay, food to put on the table, insurances, braces. I mean, you go through the litany of things that you as a father have to deal with. There are all kinds of financial pressures on people today, and this is a tough one. I'd love your thought on how fathers deal with this. Because sometimes, you know, when that stress becomes too much, the father takes it out on the spouse or takes it out on the family. Yeah. And I often think that's a bad example. I hope I didn't let financial pressure, you know, set a bad example for my children. If things got tough, I should really reflect back on how I reacted. I believe in God's providence. I know you do too. But I'd love your thoughts on that.
You know, it's interesting, Drew. I've spoken at a lot of men's conferences. I've led a lot of parish missions. And for the most part, men are not willing to admit how anxious they are. It's a guy thing. It's pride. I don't know what it is. But I get a lot of emails and have spoken with a lot of men who have struggled with this, who do struggle with this pressure to provide for your family. And you know, in my case, Drew, I've been the sole provider for the past 10 years, for longer than that, but past 10 years in full-time ministry, prior to that in the software industry. But this, whereas it has been a source of anxiety for me, because when you're looking at the bank account and there's nothing in there and you got bills to pay, as a worrier, that got me, that gets me, you know. But it's drawn me closer to the Lord, and it's enabled me to trust in him more, to choose to trust, to choose to say, Father, give us this day our daily bread. And Father, I really mean it now, you know. So it's brought me closer to the Lord, but it is absolutely a source of anxiety for many men who oftentimes are too proud or feel that it's not, you know, it's not macho to admit that they're struggling with this. But it causes a lot of grief for people. And I think it's an invitation, Drew. It's an opportunity for us to choose to place our trust in the Lord and his providence.
Amen to that. My guest, Gary Zimek, joins me today. He's an author called A Warrior's Guide to the Bible. I'd love to hear your story. Gentlemen, if you're going through a difficult time right now, if fatherhood is overwhelming, if you have life lessons that you learned, if you want to join the conversation, it's not limited to you men either. Feel free to join me, ladies, as well, and share your perspective or ask your question. I'll open the phones. The number here to get in is 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Love to hear from you, and feel free to join the conversation. Pull up a chair to the table here, and we'll talk all about it. So, Gary, your story, maybe a good place to start. I mean, how many kids do you have? I don't even know that. How many children?
We have two. We have twin daughters, 24 years old. They still live with us. And Drew, I mentioned this. I'm just going to say quickly, they were given a 10% chance to be born alive. Your dad, I've told you this story, he's the one guy, we called up his radio show, he said they're going to make it. So, you know, your dad had that special gift, and I can't mention them without and talk to you without mentioning him. But, yeah, we have twin girls, and we're blessed. We're very blessed.
So you know, as a father, what were some of the greatest challenges you face? Both raising your kids, the economics, I mean, living on God's providence, there's a lot there. Because, you know, you left your career to serve the Lord, and that's, I think, noble and heroic. You discern that, and you've done a lot of good work. Love to get your take on that. Then we'll jump into the phones, take a few calls.
Drew, I'm a control freak. I'm a control freak, especially when it comes, right? I'm going to be honest, when it comes to my family. I'm speaking to you from South Carolina right now. I flew down. I'm going to be giving a talk tomorrow. It's hard to be away from my family. I want to take care of all their problems. I want to fix things. But, you know, sometimes I got to let go and turn them over to the Lord. And that's hard for me. I think that's my biggest challenge. I'm a fixer. I love my family. But sometimes I have to let the Lord love them in a way that I can't love them. You know what I mean? But that's not easy for me.
Yeah, no, I could not agree with you more. One of the things that I think is so challenging for a lot of fathers, and I'm with you, you know, you want your kids, you can't live their life for them, Gary. That's right. Part of the problems. You know, I want my sons to do this, and I want my daughters to do that. And everybody takes their own path. And, you know, being a father, I think the most important thing to do is just to be that silent example. You know, men, if you're around your daughters, be the type of man you want your daughter to marry. And if you're around your sons, instill those good moral values in him as well. You know, show patience, show compassion, show mercy, show love, show purity. Those are things that are really, I think, important. And I think that's what we'll remember. What do you remember most about your dad? Is there something that stands out to you about him?
You know, my dad was a quiet man, Drew. He didn't say too much, but I knew he loved me. He passed away in the early 2002, but I knew my dad loved me and he took care of me. Didn't say much. He was stern. He was difficult. When he got angry, he got angry, but he always took care of me, Drew. I knew that he would give me the shirt off his back. He would always give me the better portion of the food. He'd just take the scraps. And that's the kind of the guy my dad was. And he went to mass every week. You know, never talked about his faith, but, you know, that generation, they didn't talk too much about that.
That's true.
But he was a good man, and I felt loved by both my mom and my dad. And I was just really blessed to be brought up in such a loving home.
Well, let's do this. We'll grab a couple calls. Raul is listening to us in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll start there. Raul, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Raul.
I'll get a little emotional. I say this. I had my first child at 42. After spending most of my adulthood working with other people's children, and she was born with multiple disabilities, almost died on us several times, and she had over 20 brain surgeries, and that she can't walk, she can't talk, and she has just a beautiful faith that's taught me to get closer to God, because, wow, the things that she does are just immaculate. She's a great, faithful Virgin Mary and God, and I quit my job at age 50 so I could care for her, because I was older than my wife, so she continued working. And time after time after time after time, God has given us whatever we need. Many times I prayed, and most prayers when it had to do with her, he answers it within 24 hours. It could be anything from a car that we needed because we could no longer afford to pick her up and carry her. I'll never forget, my wife one day said, just put the car on Craigslist. I said, we just bought this car. How's that going to happen? We're in the middle of a recession. The car sold in 1 hour.
Wow.
In 1 hour. And I can tell you time and time again when the Lord has come to us to help with anything we need for her, the prayers were answered. And it's the roughest job I ever had to care for a special needs daughter. You know, you don't get a whole lot of sleep. You don't really get to do all the things you really want to do. It's all about her. And just God has blessed me time and time and time again. Her and I are going by ourselves to our cabin in northern Arizona this weekend for Father's Day.
Good for you.
And it's going to be awesome. Even though she can't walk, she can't talk. I just tell her in her eyes when she sees me, that big smile on her face, this is it all.
Well, Raul, you know what? You're not only a good father and a good man, but you are a wonderful example of what it means to be a father. And when people see the love that you have for your daughter, and I'm sure the love that she has for you, you are a silent witness to all that see you. So you keep up your good work, and I just want to say to you, happy Father's Day to you. Happy Father's Day. I'm going to just take a short pause. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We'll go to the phones. I know Carrie wants to share what a great Father's Day gift would be. If you want to share your Father's Day gift ideas, you want to share your story, with lessons you learned, feel free to join the conversations. We're talking fathers today. Love to hear from you. The number here, 888-914-9149. We're back with more.
Your daily dose of faith, hope, and charity. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
You want a game changer in our culture? Let's bring back some respect for our dads. Let's refuse to buy the Father's Day cards that only talk about hogging channel changers and drinking too much beer. Right? Because it's crushing our kids. Every person in this audience with an earshot of my voice has a responsibility to the child in your life that you love, whether it's your own child, whether it's your niece or your nephew, your grandchild, a child that you just know. We have a responsibility to restore respect and honor and a rightful position to every dad in America. You want to be a game changer? You want to change our country and our culture? Change our families by changing our kids. And ladies and gentlemen, it all begins with our mouths and how we speak to the good men in our lives.
You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
That's so well said. I could not agree more. I'll tell you what, fatherhood is from God. And if you are disappointed in your father, maybe you're not in a good place with him right now, I'd encourage you to maybe, you know, mend that gap, all right? Turn to him. Maybe you've been away a long time. I know fathers and sons sometimes can lock horns. And yeah, Meg Meeker is a champion of fatherhood, fathers. And you should check out her website. I think it's MegMeeker.com. Check out her books, especially if, what's it called, Maggie? Is it MeekerParenting.com? MeekerParenting.com. Did I get it right, Meg? That's it. All right, good. I'll try to stop talking now. I'm joined by Gary Zimek. He is a father himself, a man who has lived on God's providence. He's a noted author, and it's good to have him back as we celebrate Father's Day today. Gary, let's go right to the phones. We'll grab a couple quick calls for you. I want to go to Nick first in Rio Rancho, New Mexico, who joins us. Nick, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. I think that in the culture, of course, we're seeing a mental health crisis and addictions, drugs, fentanyl everywhere. And I think that there's a correlation there. A lot of men seem to go into relationships before dealing if they have mental illness or if they have an addiction. And, of course, if you have an addiction, you're very self-focused. And you can do that at the expense of your family if you don't address it before you enter into that relationship. I think it's just devastating a lot of people in our culture today.
I think it's a great point. Gary, I'll let you respond.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. And what you know what I'm glad about, and I'm just happy to be a part of this conversation, Drew and Nick, that I'm glad that we're hearing more about the area of mental illness. Now, as I've said before when I've come on, I'm not a professional. I'm not a therapist. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm a guy who has struggled with anxiety, but I remember when I was younger, there was a certain stigma associated with it. And my mother knew that I was a worrier, and I mentioned it one time. Like, I said, Mom, I think I might need to get some help. I want to talk to somebody. And she said, and my mother was a good lady, but she didn't understand this whole area of mental illness. And she said, well, if you go to a psychiatrist, people think you're crazy. But I would have benefited from talking to somebody. Mm-hmm. So I agree with what Nick's saying. A lot of times a man can get into these into a relationship, but bring this illness into the relationship, cause more problems. So I think it's important for us to admit that there's nothing wrong with seeking help. We should do it. And if anybody tries to tell you, or if you believe that it means your faith is weak because you're going to see a professional, absolutely not. Jesus heals in many different ways. And I think we shouldn't be afraid to admit that, yeah, some of us struggle with this. And a lot of times it's a biological condition.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Hey, Nick, thank you for calling. The other problem I think that challenges fatherhood today too is pornography. You talk about addiction, you talk about dependency. That's something else I know a lot of men struggle with, Gary, and I think that can undermine a family as well. And yeah, again, I go back to my point, you know, fathers need to show good examples. And I think purity is something that in the culture today is really in jeopardy. And we need fathers. That's where it begins, to really instill those values in their kids and help bring about that. I know there are fathers out there that deal with addiction, you know, chemical addiction, drug addiction, alcohol. You need to get help for that as well. It doesn't, you know, your addiction doesn't mean you're weak. It means you're sick. And there is healing out there for it. And there's freedom. My own father struggled with alcohol. You know, he rose above it. Thank God. And God's grace had a big part to play in that. But I have more respect for him because of the steps that he took. You know, I know it can be embarrassing for a lot of people who have someone, a father that might have a struggle like that. But, you know, with God's grace, with the proper help, you know, there's new beginnings. And it really showed me how strong that man actually was. All right, let's go back to the phones. We'll take a few more. Victoria is listening in Oakland, California. Victoria, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I wanted to share my father and my husband, my father-in-law and brother-in-law and brother buried them. And I just wanted to share that my dad, military, these are military men. My father was Pearl Harbor, Vietnam, Korean War. And yes, mental issues, alcohol, anger. But yet the Lord had really revealed to me when I said, please, Father, show me my men in my life so I may understand them, because I didn't really share. Mm-hmm. And they are wounded warriors deep inside their souls. And I don't know always in their training. And when God told me, they gave you what they knew. If we could just reach out and just say, no matter what happened to you, daddy, husband, brother-in-law, father-in-law, whatever, no matter what happened, we're right beside you. We may not have experienced everything, but we love you, and we ask that the Lord will bind up your wounds and let you know that you're deeply loved. We love you, but God loves you more.
And I love that. I love that. And Victoria, let's. I want to jump on to that point. Gary, I want your take on that as well. I mean, she said something in that was so beautiful. First, we have to let our fathers know how much we do love them. You know, those men that are in our life and the sacrifices they often make, and sometimes they're underappreciated and taken for granted. But sometimes, you know, they do have flaws and foibles and shortcomings, and you may not have the perfect father, but they give you what they can. You know, I think we need to look at that too. I mean, you know, not every father's perfect, and that's for sure. But I think we can find the goodness in our father, and we can see the values that are in him, and thank him for that. But Gary, your thoughts?
You know, Drew, I think that was a great point that she just made. But one of the things that I always like to do is apologize when I mess up. My kids have seen me looking very imperfect, and it takes humility. It's not easy to do. But sometimes I have to say, hey, guys, I'm sorry. I'm sorry with what I said. That was mean. I shouldn't have done that. And because I think it is important, and I'm glad we're able to emphasize this on the program today, that as fathers, we are setting an example. We are responsible in a certain way for the image that our children will have of our Heavenly Father. And I don't want to get in the way of that. You know, I want to be that image as best as I can, even though, albeit imperfectly, but I want to do the best I can to let my kids know what their Heavenly Father is like and how much he loves them. And sometimes, Drew, that means me just saying, I'm sorry, I didn't handle that well. Will you forgive me?
I love it. All right, let me go to Susan, Kerry. We got a number of people who want to join us here. If you want to get into it, we're talking fathers, and love to hear, you know, your story, what lessons you learned from your father, what would be a great Father's Day gift, what's your takeaway from the issue. Susanna in Los Angeles, good afternoon.
Yes, I want to share my father. He was an amazing man, from Colombia, South America. He races in the Catholic Church because our background was cradle Catholics, and he worked as a teacher for the nun schools. And in the mornings, he would teach the youngsters, the females. In the afternoon, he would go to the male schools and teach there. Then he would come home. And he taught himself calligraphy, and he was a musician. So my father had four jobs. He would finish the schools at around 4 o'clock. He'd come home, and he would start having people come over to do calligraphy. He would do, communion cards and marriage, testimony, you know, just cards for different confirmation cards. And at night, he would teach violin lessons and flute. And he would stay up until 1 in the morning. to get up the next day and go to the convent and teach. And he would walk because, you know, my father never drove, so he would walk 5 miles to and from the college in South America. And my father just kept that every
That's
day.
Amazing.
It was the same routine.
Well, what a great father you had. It's amazing, and it brings up a couple points of how hard fathers work and how many jobs they sometimes hold. Although, Gary, I want to talk about this before we take Kerry's call and some of the others. True story of a man I knew who had all the money he could ever want, right? Money was not an issue for him. But before he got all that money, he worked nonstop. And his work really was his life. He had a wife, he had some kids, but he just didn't spend the time he needed with his child. And when he finally achieved the financial independence that he wanted, he realized his child and him had no relationship. And he also realized his child had his own struggles. The boy really dealt with anxiety. He dealt with depression. And the man realized, wow, if I could change it, I would have changed it. And, of course, he threw everything he could in at that point in time to go ahead and help his son. And the story ends well. The son goes on and he gets the therapy he needs and goes on to have a very successful career. But the father, I remember him sharing that story with me, and I think, you know, how many fathers today are doing just that? I mean, yeah, we have this burden to want to provide for the family. But at the same time, so often job sometimes becomes first. You know, you got to pay the braces and the college tuition or the school tuition and put the clothes on the table, the food on the table, the clothes on their back. And what happens? Well, you miss your kids' school plays. Before you know it, they're out of high school. And before you know it, they're off to college or having their first job, and their childhood has gone by. It goes by very, very quickly, and it can be squandered. And I think that's one of those great problems. There's that great song, The Cat in the Cradle, by who sings that? I'm going to zone out. I'm getting tired. Father and Son,
Kelly
by Cat Stevens. Is it Chapin or Stevens?
Stevens is Father and Son. Chapin is Cats in the Cradle.
In the Cradle, right. Okay, there you go. And that's such a great story. You know, it's such a demonstration of what happens to fathers who let their children's childhood escape them. And when you want that time with them, now those kids have their own life. It's an important lesson for a lot of people to make, but it's sometimes it is hard. How do you draw that balance, in your opinion?
You know, that's a tough one, because this is something I had to wrestle with once I made the decision to stay in full-time ministry, because I realized this is going to be tough. I'm not going to be able to pull down the six-figure income that I paid when I was a software developer. But Drew, you know what I think? I think that there's sacrifice involved. And again, as a controlling person, I didn't want my kids to suffer. But I realized that the material things, in the end, that's not what was going to make them happy. And I had to try to teach them that we're going to have less, but we're actually going to have more, and we'll spend more time together. Yeah. So in the end, it worked out. But there's still that tendency to want to think, well, I don't want to deprive them of things. But I think it's working out just great for us. And I'm so glad that I did what I did. And my wife has always supported me with this decision.
I love it. Well, let's do this. I'm going to take a quick call, and then we'll take a break. Kerry's been waiting forever. Final segment coming up. What is a great Father's Day gift? Gentlemen, what's the best Father's Day gift you've ever received? Or what's the best Father's Day gift you've ever given to your dad or to that father in your life, that husband, whoever it might be? Any good ideas? I'm sure there's a lot of people who have yet to get their father that gift. Maybe you can help out. Kerry is listening in Pflugerville, Texas. Hi, Kerry. Good afternoon.
Well, Drew, and hi, Gary. I asked God the Father, what do you want for Father's Day? And his answer was just, I want you to be with me.
Wow.
And so what I'm asking for my children, is to come and bring my grandchildren and join me in church just one time, just once. Come and be with me. And there, I want to give them to God the Father.
Oh, my gosh.
And let God the Father touch them the way that he's touched me.
Well, Kerry, I hope you get your Father's Day wish. I do. I hope your kids are listening.
Me too.
You know, Kerry, there's a lot of fathers out there, a lot of sons and daughters you know, who perhaps are away from the faith and perhaps their parents want that. What a great idea. What a great Father's Day suggestion for anyone who's listening. Maybe you know your mom and your dad are deeply in their faith. Maybe you know your father is. Why not call him and say, hey, Dad, we'd love to go to Mass with you this Sunday. We're going to bring the kids over. And what a blessing that would be to pray with your father, to let him know that, yes, those values he planted in you and the love he has for God is reflected in you. I'm going to take a short break. That would make his day. It would make my day, too. You know, I mean, what a joy to see a family pray together and to honor our Heavenly Father. Gary Zimek's my guest. We'll come back with final calls as well. Love to hear from you. What's the best Father's Day gift you've ever received? What's the Father's Day gift you'd like to receive? Or maybe what's the best you've given? You can share some of your own ideas. 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. The conversation continues.
I just want to say real quick, thanks to everybody that calls in. It's so encouraging. What a great community it is. All the shows on Relevant Radio all day long. They're so uplifting.
Bringing Christ to the world through the media.
Relevant. Relevant Radio.
Trending with Timory.
What we really need to talk about is the pursuit of joy, which is a gift. Rooted in God, and we're able to have this eternal perspective.
This is a different world. We as parents have to educate ourselves. Get online and look this stuff up. Your child is dealing with it.
We are deserving of healthy relationships, and we should not compromise, even if it's easier.
Buckle up. Join us if you have a question.
Trending with Timory. Live Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on the Relevant Radio app or at relevantradio.com.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
To catch and bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. And he was talking for I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. The cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon. Little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you come,
there you go. It's a little Cat Stevens for you. Harry Chapin, man, it's been a long day. It's been a long day. That's a classic, though. It really is, isn't it? That's a great, great song, Cats in the Cradle. You know, I was thinking about... I was just thinking about the initiatives that are underway. We talk about the problems of fatherlessness and all these others. I do want to tip my hat to a governor, the governor from the state of Florida, back in April. And I don't think I talked about this, but Ron DeSantis, he actually he put forth really what I think is a groundbreaking piece of legislation. And the focus of it was to support fatherhood in Florida. And I wish we saw this across the country. He signed a House bill, which, you know, I think it's tied to something like $70 million in funding, and it's supposed to provide support because he says, look, there's 18 million children in our country that live without a father in their home. And when you see that, that often leads to the, you know, dropping out of school. Kids drop out. There's crime. There's substance abuse and fatherlessness. Incredibly, you know, it diminishes the importance of the nuclear family is what it does. And he says, I'm not going to let that happen in my state. He says, I'm proud to say we're doing everything we can to support fathers. And I just want to say bravo, Governor DeSantis. I credit you for that. That's what we need. You know, yeah, you can't legislate fatherhood. You can't do that, right? You can't legislate accountability. You can't legislate character. But you can support fathers, and you can encourage them to take the role that they should have in the lives of their children. And I'm delighted to see that the state is behind that. It's going to help you know, education and address some of the root problems that face sons and daughters. And let's pray for our fathers as well. And let's hope that as a culture, as a society, that we can, you know, we can bring an end to what it really has been a tremendous attack on fathers. Maria is listening to us in Texas. She joins Gary Zimek and I. And Maria, thanks for joining us. You're on the air.
Yes. I just want prayer for my nephew.
Because I think a child is very important and it's a blessing. I've never had children and how I would have wanted to. And I just want him to accept the blessing that he has.
So, Maria, I don't understand. Is he a father or is he doesn't want to have his child?
Found out. He recently found out.
Is he thinking about abortion or you're just worried he's not going to be a good father?
No. The child's already 4 years old.
Oh, okay. Well, then.
And he didn't know about it. So I just need prayer for him.
Oh, how interesting.
So that he can accept. And he just found out and he's taking his role, but.
Well, that's a shock.
It's very hard for him.
Yeah, well,
it's very hard. And I think, like I told my sister, we need to focus on him because we don't know the child, but we need to focus on him and we can't focus on the child until he accepts so that I'm not saying not focus on the child, but.
Yeah. No, I know what you're saying. First of all, Maria, you're right. I mean, what a shock to find out that you have a child. It's 4 years old. I mean, I could totally understand your nephew trying to, you know, really get his arms around that one. That's a big surprise. But look, we'll pray for him. Let's pray for him right now, okay? And let's pray a Hail Mary right now. Let's pray a memorare. We'll pray a memorare that he'll be the father that God intends him to be, all right? And he will not regret it. This child will be a blessing to him. And I pray right now for any woman contemplating aborting the child, any man who has found out that his girlfriend or wife is pregnant is trying to encourage them to abort the child. And I want to pray for fathers right now who are separated from their sons and they're from their daughters. And for the daughters and sons who are angry and won't speak to their parents, to their fathers in particular. I ask for the healing of those broken relationships. And I want to pray for all men that they can be the men that God created them to be. They can fulfill the great vocation of fatherhood, to be that example, that reflection of our Heavenly Father. And we'll just turn to the Mother of God. We'll turn to St. Joseph and we'll pray. Remember, most gracious Virgin Mary, and never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, we fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, our Mother. To you we come, before you we stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not our petition, but in your mercy, hear and answer us. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. And what a great advocate the Mother of God is. Here she is. She finds herself pregnant with this child, right? And what a beautiful model of fatherhood there is in the chastity and the love and the providence that St. Joseph was able to fulfill. So turn to the Holy Family, Maria, and anyone else having trouble with their relationships now or with their fathers, turn to St. Joseph in particular. Gary, I know you are giving a talk this weekend. I'm not quite sure what you're going to be addressing, but I want to give you final thoughts because I only got a couple moments left. I'm grateful for your time and for your insights.
Drew, I'm grateful to be on with you. I'm speaking about my latest book, Let Go of Your Fear, Choosing to Trust Jesus in Life's Stormy Times. You know, I talk a lot about worry. All worry comes from fear. So now I'm talking about the storms at sea. And again, it's my latest book. I'm excited to talk about it. And I'm excited to bring this message to people. And, you know, I want to talk about our Heavenly Father, especially on Father's Day. I want to talk about how I got to learn that I have a Father in heaven who provides for my needs. And I think so many people need to hear that message. So I'm going to be talking about all these things, and I'm always glad that I could come on with you to share this good news that, yes, there are temptations to worry in life, but the Lord is really in control. He has healed me, and he can heal anyone that's struggling with worry.
That's great. Well, if people want your book, Gary, what's the best way to get it?
The easiest thing, Drew, is to go right to my website, followingthetruth.com, and they could sign up for my daily email reflections as well, followingthetruth.com.
I get those every day. I get them in my inbox,
awesome.
Gary. So, hey, keep
awesome,
up your good work.
Brother.
I'm grateful for what you do and your example of trust and encouraging others to do the same thing. It's a life-changing message, and I know it will change the life of those who ultimately embrace it. So have a happy Father's Day, Gary.
Thank you, Drew. Happy Father's Day to you as well.
I appreciate it. That's Gary Zimmick, and you can check him out, Following the Truth. And you can bring him into your area, too. I know he speaks all over the country, and check out his books. You know, I only have a moment or two left. I want to thank you for allowing me to be part of your afternoon. Maggie, I want to thank you for the hard work you did today. And I just want to ask you quickly, because we only have about a minute left, as you know. What are you doing for your dad for Father's Day?
I actually got a tabernacle candle dedicated to him at St. Stan's in Chicago.
Oh, wow. And
then, and then I sent him a t-shirt in the, I won't be seeing him this weekend, but I sent him a card and a t-shirt in the mail, a t-shirt that has a lounge chair on it, and it says, "I'm just resting my eyes."
I love it. Well, yeah. You are a good gift giver. That's for sure.
Thanks.
That's great. That's awesome. Hey, Maggie, thank you. Have a good Father's Day.
What about you? What are you guys doing?
All my kids are coming over. My wife's cooking.
Yes.
And they're all coming down to visit. And, you know, it's going to be fun. I said a little bit earlier, I told my wife, tell the kids not to bring me anything. Don't spend any money on me. You know, let's be together. And yeah. It's going to be fun. We're gonna hang out. It's always fun being together. I was with them. The whole family was together about a week ago when we were at that family wedding. So to get together again is a double blessing. So, Maggie, enjoy your weekend. Thank you for tuning in. I'll be back again next. I'll be back tomorrow for another program. You can join me at the same time. Join me every day at this time. If you missed anything, go to the archives. I'll pray for you. Say a prayer for me, and let's pray for all of our fathers.